You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Thursday, October 7th, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Thank you very much for making Locked On Twins your first listen every day. Now make your second listen. Locked On MLB, Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues past and present. It's free and available on all platforms. Again, this is Nash Walker, writer at Twins Daily, lifelong Twins fan, bringing you 5 days a week coverage on the Minnesota Twins all season long and now into October. We're going to give a quick little recap of the wildcard game last night, preview the White Sox-Houston series, Boston-Tampa series in the playoffs. I mentioned Sully, definitely talking about the playoffs too. It's been a really good start for Major League Baseball for sure. And while it's sad the Twins aren't in it, it's fun to watch anyway. We're also going to break down Derek Falvey's comments on Edward Colina. Colina, the flame-throwing Twins prospect, who's now had two elbow surgeries in the same summer, was waived and picked up by the Rangers. And we talked about it yesterday, why this current front office has lost some of its benefit of the doubt on little low-level moves like this because they've made mistakes on similar moves. Talked about that yesterday, broke down Colina. But this is a very interesting comment from Derek Falvey. Then we're going to continue our season in review up to Memorial Day. And I think this was the most emotional time for Twins fans and for Twins territory, and certainly for me at this period of the season. And I will tell you why as we continue on in our season in review. Coming up, we have report cards for every Twin that appeared this year. I mentioned we're going to do full-on episodes for some guys. Some guys will have, you know, we'll have two guys in one episode. The role players will have maybe three or four in one episode. And then we're looking forward to 2022. I went on the Glass Half Full podcast, Great Minnesota Sports Podcast, this morning. Talked about Byron Buxton's extension, talked about the Twins offseason, and I guess just came to the realization, it's already known and I've said it, but this is the most critical and interesting offseason that Derek Falvey and company have had because they're not limited to anything. Like, they might think that 2023 is the next time that the Twins will open up their window, and that probably is realistic on like competing for a division title and making the playoffs. But that doesn't limit them to one-year deals because if you go out and sign Marcus Stroman for 5 years, not only do you get him in 2022, you get him when you're expecting that window to be open in 2023 and 2024. And he impacts that next wave and that next core. So they're not limited to anything. I think everything's on the table in terms of trades. I think everything's on the table in terms of free agents. They have money to spend. They have places to go. And we're going to break it all down this offseason. We have free agent profiles coming up, trade profiles coming up, trade previews coming up, what I think the Twins should do, who I think they should sign. Decent track record in recent years. I really wanted them to sign Josh Donaldson, and I think it's trending. If he has a good 2022, I think we'll definitely trend in the right direction. Definitely wanted them to sign Marcus Semien. I was okay with Anderson Simmons, so I've missed plenty as well. But we're going to break down all the free agents. I had a promise last offseason. I think I missed a couple, but I had a promise that there wouldn't be a player that the Twins would trade for or sign that you wouldn't have heard about already on the podcast and hasn't been broken down. And even when they sign those guys, even when they trade for those players, will be broken down as well. Really good game last night, 4 hours and 15 minutes between the Cardinals and Dodgers. It was a long one. Chris Taylor walked it off. He's a free agent this offseason. Brandon Warren pointed out that he'd be a really good fit for the Twins. I love that idea. I love CT. He can play everywhere. And you see great bat, good defender, good player. Chris Taylor, and he had a big walk-off two-run homer last night to drown the St. Louis Cardinals, who had an incredible run in September. I'm a senior at Mizzou, and there were a lot of sad Cardinals fans walking around last night, a lot of St. Louis kids walking around, not happy about that. I'm around so many Cardinals fans that there is a part of me that hopes they lose just because misery loves company, and I'm a Twins fan. So I wasn't sad about that last night. I think the Dodgers are the better club, and they deserve to be in the DS, and they found a way to win. So a takeaway from that is like how incredible bullpens are these days, right? You watch these guys come out of the bullpen. Former Twin Bruiser Gratterall throwing 100 with the sinker. Blake Trinan throwing 99 with a sinker and then has a nasty slider. You see on the Cardinals side, Giovanni Gallegos, just disgusting stuff. Alex Reyes, who gave up the game-winning homer, has a 99-100-mile-an-hour fastball with a hard-biting slider that he hung up to CT. But bullpens these days are incredible. Kenley Jansen gets a huge strikeout, still doing it for the Dodgers. It's amazing how much stuff is coming out of these bullpens. And that's why when Edward Colina, someone with stuff like Colina, gets let go, you kind of raise an eyebrow, because those type of players are what you need. And there are more and more of them coming, like, just in general. Like, there's never been more velocity in the game, and especially in bullpens. So it's making it less of a kind of a scarce commodity. But this is what Derek Falvey said about Edward Colina yesterday. This is a really interesting part of his quote here. He said, "At this time, we're looking at the likelihood that through the offseason, with what our roster additions are going to look like, with what we need to do, that this felt like the right time." When I hear that, it excites me. It excites me that they're going to be making some big additions to this roster, that they're going to be making a lot of additions to this roster, and that they're going to be aggressive early. And, I saw this tweet yesterday. I think it was Cody Perko, who's been on the show before, saying maybe they'll shy away from waiting for those bargain basement players at the end of the offseason, trying to get the best deal at the end of the offseason. Maybe they'll be aggressive early and really try to improve their club. And then later in the offseason, if they feel like there's a good deal, they can go to Jim Pollad and the Pollad family and say, "Hey, listen, we've already, signed whoever, Marcus Stroman or Kevin Gausman, and we see this player and we think this is a really good deal and will push us over the top." I think that then you get approved for that. I think they're going to change pace. I hope they do. I hope they're more aggressive. Like, I want to see them, obviously, I want to see them making signings in November and December. But also, just for fan morale, I think it's a good thing. Last offseason, people so frustrated that the Twins were taking forever. I think with COVID and everything, there were reasons for that. But also, this is what they do. They wait until January and February and try to find the best deal and try to play that supply and demand game. Let's talk more about these comments after the break, and then we'll continue our season in review a little bit later on. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto is also a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So I think with Falvey's comments, it's exciting to me because, yes, I'm starting to think that they will be more aggressive early. Like, they're really clearing their 40-man now so they can add. And whether that be a $3 million starting pitcher, a $3 million bullpen piece, whatever it might be, I'm not saying they're going to sign Stroman or Gausman or, Max Scherzer or anyone like that early. But at least you can set a little foundation and you can set the tone for the offseason. And I hope that's what that means. Now, there's also things that need to happen within the organization. Jose Miranda needs to be added to the 40-man. They have a couple other guys who need to be added to the 40-man. So they have additions they need to make, but they have so many players that are cuttable on the 40-man roster. So many guys who they can remove and make space. So that's why I was curious that they would let Colina go. But I think this is hopeful. And as Twins fans, we should be hopeful that this quote means that there are moves coming and that there are moves coming early this offseason. I think they're going to be aggressive, and I'm hopeful that they are. I'm going to predict that they will be aggressive and they're going to change course, because last offseason just didn't work. And honestly, the previous offseasons just haven't worked. Their main targets have panned out. They wanted Zach Wheeler. They wanted Marcus Semien. They wanted these guys, and they just didn't pan out. And then their fallback options have just collapsed. So maybe you make it a priority that you go and you spend a little bit extra, or you really try to make a push to get your number one target, because that's who you want, and be less willing to fall back on these cheaper options or these guys who are less highly sought after that you can kind of fall back into, like Andrelton Simmons or like Alexander Colome or like Matt Shoemaker or like Jay Happ. Instead of letting yourself kind of look for those opportunities to save money and get two players for the price of one, pay for the price of one. Instead of signing, you know, two, a starter and a reliever for a combined $20 million who are average, what you're going to get for them is average at best. And this is a good example, Jay Happ and Alexander Colomé. And I expected more from Colomé and I expected more from Happ. Instead of signing those two, just pay Marcus Semien, the guy you want who has higher upside. I want to see them do that this offseason. Go after guys with higher upside because they need upside. They have holes to fill and they need to raise the floor on the team for next year. We always talk about floor and ceiling. The floor of the 2021 team I thought was high. It obviously wasn't. The floor fell out. It bottomed out. But the ceiling wasn't very high either because they didn't give themselves opportunities to get excess value very much on the free agent market. Jay Happ wasn't going to give you excess value. Alexander Colomé likely wasn't going to give you excess value. Even Nelson Cruz likely wasn't going to give you excess value. It's very difficult to kind of come back from a tough start if you don't have guys like Robbie Ray, like Carlos Rodon, like Marcus Semien, who give you an opportunity to really bust through that ceiling. They need to go after ceiling players this offseason for 2022 and beyond because they need to raise the ceiling of the team next year. And when we talk about ceiling, the number one ceiling player on the roster is Byron Buxton. So if you want to keep your ceiling high on the current roster, or at least have it be higher than it might be, you need to keep Buxton because as soon as you trade Buxton, let him go and Max Kepler moves to center, the ceiling on the team next year is lowered and the best they can do is a lot worse than what it was. I want to see ceiling players, I want to see impact additions, and I want to see it early this offseason for Derek Favley, Thad Levine, and the Twins front office. That's what I'm looking for. I think Twins fans are, with the way that the season went and with, you know, how people kind of tuned out with Bally Sports and not being able to watch anyway in a lot of cases, I think it would serve everyone right. It would be a statement to go out early, and players might not be willing to sign early, but be aggressive. Be aggressive early on. You haven't given yourself the opportunity this offseason to sit back because the Twins were coming off another division title, two division titles in a row. I think players still wanted to go. I mean, players want to go to a winner, and I think they had that luxury of waiting and letting themselves be one of the only competitive teams late in the free agent process for a lot of these guys in recent years, but they don't really have that luxury anymore. They need to pay up, and they need to be aggressive in shopping for players and in making trades. They just need to be more aggressive. And I'm sure every fan base is saying that about their team, but it's especially true for the Twins. If they're going to hold true to their statement that they're going to invest in 2022, and this is not a rebuild, and they're going to spend, and they're going to try to win next year, you better do it aggressively because you have the capital, you have the money to spend, and you need it. Like, you need to be aggressive in this free agent period and in this trade period if you actually are legitimate about trying next year. Don't go half in. I don't want to see an over-under this. I mean, the over-under is going to be around 80 wins. I'd rather see an over-under around 75 wins with the chance that they bust through that ceiling because they made some signings that are high upside. Recent examples, again, Robbie Ray, Carlos Rodon, Marcus Semien, guys who have previously been really good or need a tweak or two to unleash that upside. I want to see them go after players like that and really try to bust through that ceiling in 2022. Before that next core comes in 2023, because if you hit on a couple of guys on even 2 or 3 year deals, now all of a sudden you're cooking with peanut oil in 2023 and you have something to work with. Let's continue our season in review to Memorial Day in 2021 for the Twins after the break. The saddest and the happiest point of the season are coming up in this review. Stick around. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline is where the game starts, and all eyes are on that gridiron. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. BetOnline. So the Twins were 20-29 after sweeping Baltimore, and we talked about that yesterday. How they swept Baltimore, I think I was at all three of those games. Really good kind of vibe, and there was still like a skeptical vibe, but it felt like they were turning it around a little bit, and they had an opportunity because they had Kansas City and Baltimore coming up. So it was like, okay, if they really make hay in this next 8-game stretch, if they go 7-1 or 6-2, they're right back in the hunt and they're right back in this thing. And then they had the Yankees and the Astros, and you could see at that period we were hearing from Derek Falvey and Thad Levine, we want to see how the Twins respond to the best teams in the American League, or two of the best teams in the American League, how they play before we make a determination on the deadline in a month. But they were still a month away from the deadline, month and a half away from the deadline, basically, almost 2 months away. So they could make that choice, but I think they wanted to see what would happen over that 8-game stretch and then what would happen against the Yankees and Astros. And it was a disaster. The Twins lost 6 of their next 8 to Kansas City and Baltimore. And I think more than at any other point, because it was so early when they got off to that bad start, it was so early, so you still held out a little hope that like they can still go on this incredible run. But that, I think the day that decided the season, it was all over by June 4th. When they lost 6 out of 8 to Kansas City and Baltimore, it was over. And I think Gleiman released an article at The Athletic that said, it's over. Twins need to come to realization that this is a lost season, and basically looking ahead to the trade deadline. And what ended up happening was that was true. It was over by then because they didn't take advantage of that stretch, and then they had to play the Yankees and Astros, and I think they went 2-4 against the Yankees and Astros. By that point, they were 16 games back. And that the best moment of the season, I'm going to have an article coming out this weekend, the 3 best moments of the season. One of them was in Milwaukee when Byron Buxton hit a solo homer off Corbin Burns, who was throwing a no-hitter. One of them was the number one moment was this. Josh Donaldson and Nelson Cruz each hitting 2-run homers off Aroldis Chapman to walk off the Yankees at Target Field. This was the best game I've ever been to at Target Field. It was the best feeling, but it was also the saddest feeling, and I'll tell you why. The Twins improved to 25-37. It was so it was the definition of bittersweet. It felt so good to beat the Yankees that it was the fact that it was Donaldson and Cruz who hit the 2-run homers. Like, the Twins were riding on the backs of those two offensively this year with also very good players around them. Jorge Polanco, Max Kepler, Miguel Sano expecting big things from this offense. But it's Donaldson and Cruz. It's the veterans. It's the, you know, Nelson Cruz, who I always refer to as a legendary slugger. Josh Donaldson, former MVP, biggest signing in Twins free agent history. The fact that it was those two, that was the plan. That was the plan, to have a big win over the Yankees at Target Field, to walk off one of the best closers in the game with your two right-handed sluggers, your two leaders. What a special day. What a special game. While also realizing it didn't mean anything. It really didn't mean anything. And that was so sad, because I could see when I was standing there and how happy I was. And, you know, after the game, going home and getting in bed, like just thinking to myself, that was amazing. I still get the chills thinking about it, because that feeling being there with my friends was so fun. But also, it doesn't mean anything. And it was so sad, because that was what was supposed to be of the 2021 Twins. It was supposed to be moments like that. It was supposed to be them having this incredible season where they're vying for the Central, where they're vying for a World Series title. Spring training was World Series or bust, hard as that is to believe. And it was things like that that would happen along the way with those two together. Saddest point of the season and the happiest point of the season, because it came right after the season was over. I mean, we knew the season was over. With 100 games to go, the season was over, which is unbelievable. And that's the saddest point you can be. It's not when, you know, there's 2 weeks left and people are kind of checked out and they have X amount of losses. It's not then, and the Twins playing fairly well, like 500 ball over the last 2 months kind of helped with that. It's when you know you're done and there's 100 games left and you know the White Sox are going to win the division. Like, that was the worst feeling of the entire season. And at that point, after that Yankee win, after that walk-off win, the future was officially in question. That was the one time that kicked off the future in question. What's the future of Nelson Cruz? What's the future of Josh Donaldson? What's the future of the Minnesota Twins? I remember I had an episode around this time, I think, maybe a little bit before, saying, what's the future of the Twins? Like, what? Now you have to question everything. Who's getting traded? Who's part of the core for the future? That was the first time in years that it's been in question. Like, it hasn't been a question since 2019 what they're trying to do. They're going to fill in the holes on the roster, and they're going to try to win a World Series. And they know that they're the best team in the Central, or at least a co-favorite in the Central in this past season, and they're trying to win a World Series. That was the goal of the last 3 seasons. But at this moment, as they hit these home runs off Aroldis Chapman, as the season was over, you had these great assets still on the roster. They still do. They still have assets on the roster. They have a very talented roster still, which was why the trade deadline was so interesting, and the Twins were said to be like the most interesting team at the deadline in years because they had so much talent. They were supposed to be good. That was when the future came into question. You started to ask yourself, what is this going to look like in a month? What is this going to look like in 2 months? What is this going to look like in the offseason or next year? And I think there's still a lot of that. I think the future still is in question for this team, but I hope that that is cleared up by these comments from Derek Falvey. I hope that this means we're going for it and that there's a clear direction. What's the direction? And that's what we're finding out. That's why this offseason is so interesting, along with Byron Buxton and the contract negotiations, along with players on the roster who may be traded. It all revolves around what's the future, what's the direction of this organization. And I think around this time, around Memorial Day, is when that first came into question. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day. Go Twins. We'll be back tomorrow. It sucks that the White Sox are playing Houston because I don't want neither of these teams to win, but I'm going to be in some ways pulling for the Astros because I don't like the White Sox. Thanks again for listening. Follow me on Twitter at NashWalker9. Follow the show at Locked On Twins. Go Twins.